I Met God, She's a Twitch Streamer, written by Zombified Queer and read by K-Verb. This is a Locked Tomb fic, rated teen and up audiences, in which no archive warnings apply. It features the character of John Gaius and is tagged with trans character, gender dysphoria, and character study. Summary: in which God envies and craves.
Of your skin is perverse plasticity. You make me want to smoke cigarettes. You make me want to drink whiskey. But even if your love is unconditional, even if your love is unconditional, even if your love is unconditional, it still wouldn't be enough to save me.
Before the end of the world, the man who would become God holds a deep secret. An envy only he knows. It makes him sick. He envies M and her nun. He envies their pet cop. He envies C and her wife. He envies and wants, and then they have bigger problems than his own midlife crisis, or whatever this is. He eats his envy and washes it down with Tuesday cappuccinos. He builds living walls and tries to forget. He hears a whole planet screaming and lets it drown out his own torment. For a short while, it works. At the end of the world, the man who would be God looks down at his creation, long blonde hair and eyes a sickly gold, and he envies her. "I think," he says, as they trudge up the shore, dripping dirty seawater, "I want to be a woman." His creation looks at him with her golden eyes. She does not flinch at the confession. She does not smile or scream. She shrugs her broad shoulders. And for the first time, the man who would be God understood the nature of loneliness so complete it could kill. And he says nothing else. The woman who is God knows no one will listen to a woman. So she takes on the name John Gaius and calls it contentment. She has her friends, only made better. She has her golden-eyed Christmas tree fairy, which she keeps on a short leash. God sees this all in the halls of her home and calls it good. She builds her empire on more than one lie, and she calls it good. She puts away her Frankenstein's monster with long, yellow hair, and she calls it good. She becomes God and Emperor both, and she calls herself happy. God sits with the saint of patience and asks, "Have you ever considered changing something about yourself? Something major?" The saint of patience scoffs.
"Should I be worried you're abdicating, John?"
"No," God says, picking words carefully as a biscuit out of tea. "Indulge an old friend in a hypothetical." The saint of patience stares for a long moment. A ghost comes over his gaunt face. God knows it's the terror of a secret being discovered. So God keeps a passive face and nods slowly. "We don't have to talk, Augustine."
"I worry about you sometimes."
"I know you do."
"Must you be such an insufferable bitch?" Mercy Morn shrieks at God.
And it's almost like something affirming, the warmth of validation and being seen. But when God smiles, Mercy Morn shrinks away. There's terror in her eyes despite the firm set of her jaw.
"Someone has to be," God says with that stupid grin.
And the painfully domestic argument is forgotten. Mercy Morn chews at her lower lip and won't look at God.
"If I knew becoming God was the loneliest achievement of them all," God thinks, "I would have never done it."
Mercy Morn excuses herself and hurries out of the kitchen. If there is anyone John Gaius can trust in the miserable world after the apocalypse, it's Gideon the First. In those moments alone, between the heat of battles with heralds and beasts and the blood of Eden, John Gaius does not want to upset the comfortable, companionable silence. So they sit, like they used to as boys, and let the silence linger. It kills God inside. Understanding is so close. How easy it would be to say it and, should Gideon react poorly, wash hands of the saint of duty. Then Gideon will smile, and God is weak for his friendship. The end.